you either making money or you losing it like the second one.
Yeah, I can understand that. But you have to know. You have to know your business.
That you do. Yes, sir, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. I don't know, I used to think wholesale lumber people, however, I've been in all phases of a business, wholesale lumber business. I've done that, and I've been in the retail lumber and building supply business, and I've been in the manufacturing business, and I've been in all of it. But I used to think that undoubtedly that was the crookedest darn set of folks there was in the world.
Lumber?
And different people, but I find now there's a lot of other people just as crooked as they are.
Let me ask you
something. Now, I cut a lot of lumber one time for the Central Railroad. That's the Central of Georgia Railroad. And one evening, a fella came there and said he was inspector for the railroad and wanted to take up the lumber. So I sat down, took everything over there, and started turning the lumber over for him, and he had a hammer. And it was a C on it, you know, and he was hitting it. And the other end of his hammer had an X on it. He hit one piece with that. I said, don't put that on another one. I said, you put anything on this piece, it belongs to you, but I said, don't put it on that one. So he went ahead and he went through and he throwed out all lots of it. And when he left, you know, one of these old things you used to cut gun wadding with, old punch. I take a hammer, file, and I sawed off a file one side of it. And I made a C out of it. I took it and I put it up the hammer and I hit the rest of them and loaded the last piece of it the next day. Now ain't that just about as crooked as folks can get?
Now what was wrong with that horse, or was it mule? Mr. Rutland, that pair of mules that belonged to Mr. Rutland, and one of them had a bad leg, skin place,
and he
swelled.
He swapped it to those what they called gypsies. They wasn't, but that's what they call them. For a beautiful iron gray mule.
Yeah.
And that was as good a buggy horse as you ever drove. But if you ever put a chain on or something rattled, that's far as you went.
Put a chain on it or something that rattled.
Something that rattled.
Oh.
That was the most peculiar thing I ever seen. She was just as gentle and all, and a beautiful mule. And how come me to know that? No good way to put in a lot. We're just waiting for the gypsies to come back to swap to them, you know. And I wanted to go to town. And there was nothing in the barn except Miss Maggie's horse. A big bay horse, and it was kind of crippled. And I told Miss Maggie, I says, I'm going to hitch up this old mule and see if she'll wait to buggy. And I didn't know nothing about making her wait then. I hitched up and got in there. She went right on 10 miles to town, you know, and she went just about as quick as any horse I ever drove. Just nice, buggy horse as you want to drive. A good gait. Come on back, and from then on, why, they drove that thing around there to the buggy, but you hitched to a wagon, she wouldn't pull nothing. She wouldn't move.
But that was before you learned how to.
Oh yeah.
To.
No,
cure that balking.
Yeah, fellow Godwin told me about that. He lived up in Willingham. That's a little. Used to be a big mill up there. Old man Alford had a big mill in Willingham. And mill and all left. Old man Alford died. And this fellow. Moved up there and up there, and he was kind of a horse man. He broke horses and all like that, and pretty good fellow, one of them. And his other brother, he wasn't worth nothing. He was just about the sorriest thing you ever seen, but he always had good clothes, and he went dressed up and done. If he didn't marry old man Cy Westbury's daughter, president of the bank, there were plenty of money. That's right. And this boy married the girl, Alford girl, that was with me when I first tried this outfit with the batteries out of the telephone. He married her.
Maggie?
No, not Maggie,
Sadie.
Sadie. And they told me when I come out of service that he moved down south of town there, and she gave birth to twins or something or like that, and the twins and her and all died. But she was a good old gal.
Now that fella Godwin.
Mm-hmm. Now, that told me how to fix that to make a broken horse go.
Oh.
And he said, now, if that don't work, he says you take your pistol and shoot him right behind the ear.
Well, now would that be just giving him a little shock? And they are not used to it.
No, it's just something, you know, that there that you put up there on top of his head on that little knot up there, you take it and dampen it, you know, and then pull that wire up around and put it up there under the band, head band, that holds it up there, you know. And then the other right under the saddle on his back. And you know, it'll knock him down.
You mean really?
Yes, sir. I didn't never knock nothing down but that old blue mule. I knocked him down twice.
Yeah.
But you have to just a little of it, and seemed like to me there was four, maybe it was three of those dry cell batteries in that telephone. I don't remember just exactly now, but anyway, that was just the right amount.
Mm-hmm.
But that A battery in radio, that was too strong.
Mm-hmm. Well. Now that was the time that you all wanted to go to this scene.
Oh yeah, we wanted to go over that old fella. He was old man Alford's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
This old man was old man Alford's uncle, and he knowed that horse.
Wow.
And he never had one.
Mm-hmm.
All he'd ever do was just ride Turpentine Woods. And when I drove him up there, he says, call the old horse's name, ain't that so-and-so? And Maggie told him, yeah. And he said, well, don't you know that horse ain't supposed to work? I know, it didn't give him better trouble. Well, he says he don't look hurt or skinned up or wheeled up or nothing like that. I said, no, I ain't mean him. He said, well, I tell you, and that old man just kept on. about that horse being hitched up like that to the buggy.
So you stayed out there and had your fun at the thing.
Yeah, we stayed out there 2-3 hours, you know, 3-4 hours, I don't know. What we wanted to do was to get back home
before
they come back, you know, for these girls' mother and daddy come back, or their stepmother. And daddy came back, and you had to go right in front of the house and turn right straight down to the barn. And but they was back when we got there. But we drove on down there. I wouldn't let them out. They went on down to the barn with me and helped me take out the horse and all. And we come on back up there, and Sadie's the one that put the batteries in her bosom. And we got them back.
She was the big one.
Yeah, she was the big one.
And he called you on it when he saw them horses coming in.
Yeah, he called me. I didn't want to talk to him. I kind of shunned, you know. I went on in the parlor, you know. I went on in, and he called me and told me to come out. He asked me what I'd do to that horse. I told him I didn't do nothing to him. And he said, "You didn't do nothing to him." I know I didn't do nothing to him. I said, "I didn't hit him or nothing." Well, he says, that horse is not supposed to work. I mean, I didn't know nothing about that either, you know. Sometime after that, short time after that, I went down there, and they had that horse hitched beside a mule hauling cordwood to the still.
That's amazing. I never heard of anything like that. Never did.
Well, it don't hurt them. That's one thing.
Yeah.
It is nothing but a light shock. But it changed their mind altogether, and now it actually does that.
Now, when you done that, he looked back at you?
When we started back, he was so old, you know, and been used to that so much, you know. And we started back, I told Maggie, I said, "Maggie, you sit right," she was little. I said, "You sit down in the foot where you just touch that thing." I said, don't let it stay. I said, "Just touch it and take it away." And he stopped and looked back. You know how they're doing. And she touched that thing, boy, on him. And when we drove up in front of the house and went down, boy, that there, it was a pretty big horse. And we went on by, you know, and went on down to the barn. And I didn't want to talk to him at Orford, but finally, he got me out there to talk to him.
Well, you had experience with the horses, and Maple's had it with the cows.
She never did know very much about no cows, nothing but done milk cow. I think that's about all the cows they ever had. I never did know them to have no cows. And, I reckon I had more cows than them. I'd buy a team of oxen once in a while,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. But I never did like them very well.
I want to walk these. We just been sitting here talking about them. I wonder.
That's too high. I'll find you something more comfortable.
No, it's all right, honey. All of it's all right.
What about I do
with my? Just want you to be comfortable.
Hat and.
Yeah. And this is not on rollers, so it won't slip. But this turns. It's a little too high.
It's the end of that fine, this remarkable visit where Phil annotates his tape the other night at supper. Here he annotates that marvelous tape the other night at supper. And this is Sunday morning, 28th of June, 1970. Sunday morning, 28th of June, 1970. This is Channel 1 over, around 180. Channel went over, around 180 at the end of this beautiful tape. Phil, annotate his talk the other night at supper.